Try talking now.
Talking into the mic right now.
There she is. She's talking.
This is me. I'm talking.
She's talking like a lady.
I'm talking like a lady. To James. It's to me. James. It's with me. His fresh haircut now.
Feeling the breeze.
Feeling the breeze. On your scalp.
Easy, breezy, beautiful.
Cover girl.
Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner.
What are you talking about, James?
Ooh, Eneke, it is time for me to dive on into it. We're going to be talking about politically correctness. And in light of all the crazy-ass shit going on in this country, has America gone too far? Are we just being coddled? Has the PC police gone too far? Are we part of the PC police? Why am I talking so high?
Oh, no!
My head's going to explode!
Oh, no!
That's what I'm going to be talking about. That's what I got going on over here.
Ooh, I am ready for that corner. I feel like we all need to check where we stand in our political correctness at this moment in time.
And what are you dishing? What are you dishing out on?
Ooh, okay, so in my corner, I'm going to do a little Where Are They Now? A little catch you up.
Like Salma
Hayek. Reminder. Yeah, sure.
I want to know where she is. And Rosie Perez.
I have no idea.
I want to know where she is. And
James,
and
I do not know where Selma Hayek is. Is she all right?
No,
I'm worried.
That's why we need to do your segment, because we need to find out where she is and if she's okay.
Yes.
So if you do know the
answer.
But
I'm not talking about her.
Oh, damn it. Well, we're never going to find out where she is now. All right. Maybe next week.
Somebody tell us where Selma Hayek is.
Please tweet us.
We need to know.
We need to know. Oh, but what are you talking about? Where is who now?
Okay, so a long time ago, and this is for all you newbie listeners, go back into the vault and listen to the episode about the criminal justice system and the judge who got cash for convicting black youth. I'm going to do a little follow-up on that, a little what's happening now.
Okay, wow, good. I'm glad you're going to keep us up on all, we talk about a lot of stuff and we never come back to it, but we will this time.
Yeah.
Let's get the fuck on into it. Ooh, can I say fuck on the air? Can I say that? Because I just did.
Yes, you can, because it's a podcast.
Oh, okay, great. Can I also say, what is there anything I can't say? Can I say cock? Can I say peacocks?
Freedom.
Freedom? You can't say freedom? Damn, wow.
No, you can't.
Okay,
you do have
down.
Freedom.
All right. Well, I won't say freedom, but I will say fuck. Not fuck freedom.
Ooh.
Keep freedom alive.
Oh. Okay.
I'll see you over there.
Well, shall we go to the corners?
Yes, hold my hand. Clearly, I'm delirious.
Let's go. James,
what has
been going on?
Well, first of all, I think that you're trapped in a car again.
I am, but it's nighttime, so okay. I have breathable air.
Is everything cool in the neighborhood? Are you the only person who's out in the car?
And you know the answer to that question because off air,
that's why I want you to tell me in front of everyone.
I know. Off air, I was so stoked to be going into the car to record because my husband is taking a nap before he goes to work.
He's doing his night business. You guys don't need the details.
Night business.
He's doing his night business.
Night business.
Oh, and he's got his own theme song. Okay.
I know, it's good. I'm going to sing it every time he goes to work.
Yeah, I wanted just like him going off to work and you're packing his lunch and you're just singing your night business.
Night business.
He's like, Eneke, I got to go to work. I'm late. And you're just doing your full on choreography.
I'm like, let me finish the song.
Don't you know I love you? I made you this song.
So basically, I'm in the car recording, thinking, okay, good. One, it's not during the day, so I'll be cool. And two, nobody else is going to be out on the street this late at night.
Wrong.
No.
Wrong.
Tell me why
you live in crazy
there's
town.
A guy in a Rasta hat and his girlfriend sitting in the car right across the street. They're creeping out everybody. I'm creeping out everybody.
Are they also recording a podcast? Because if they are, you need to shut that shit down. Because that's our
rivals. If it's a podcast, it's a smoky one.
Okay. That's because I'm not surprised. This is Oakland. This is what happened. Well, that's amazing. I just got back from watching My Boyfriend Is in Town, and I just got back from watching X-Men Apocalypse, which I thought was amazing. I loved it.
So you saw it, okay.
I did. I loved Mystique playing Jennifer Lawrence. I thought that was great.
I know, basically.
She literally was... She was dressed as Mystique for, like, 2 minutes. I don't even think it was Jennifer Lawrence. I think it was her body double stand-in.
But oh, basically.
I do love that they've set up a really nice, wonderful next set of trilogy of movies. I won't give any spoilers.
They did.
I actually think it was actually probably my favorite X-Men movie. I might say that.
Really?
I'm going to throw that out there. Because they're actually being X-Men, and they really set up, I feel... the next decade of the 90s very well. So I'm excited to see what they do with
it. I love it.
But me and the boyfriend have been Yes?
Can I just bring up one quick little... Might be spoiler alert, so if you're concerned...
Wait, that Storm actually is from Africa and has an African-ish accent better than Halle Berry's. Do you know what gets struck by the toad that gets hit by lightning? Do you know what happens to him when he gets struck up by the lightning? The same thing that happens to Italian. Everybody else. You just never know a Storm with Halle Berry's Storm. Is she Italian? Is she Portuguese? Is she Brazilian? We don't know. What?
Apocalypse basically gives everybody makeovers for like 85% of the movie.
I never thought about that. That's why I enjoyed that movie. That's why I enjoyed it so much. My boyfriend and I were just like, ooh, we love this makeover. It's great.
I know. He just goes flying around in his bubble, and he's like, you, I'm going to give you a cape.
They really should have...
You, I'm going to...
They should have really did it called an X-Men Extreme Mutant Makeover.
I know.
That's essentially what it is. That's a dope superpower, because he was making over the world. He was making it over in his own image.
He was.
Yeah. I was a fan. I think it was great. I think it's hard because the Avengers series has such a high caliber that the X-Men movies, they're just trying. They're trying their best. They're better than the DC garbage.
Darkness of the DC, Brigade
versus Superman. Boyfriend and I have been traveling all around New York area. We went to Niagara Falls. It was a crazy ass journey and trip, and I will not bore you with the details, but we took a crazy tour that brought out the best and the worst of different cultures and countries. And
oh my god, I actually kind of want to hear more about it, but we can save it in installments for each episode.
We got some cute pictures of us being at Niagara Falls together. And
you did. I saw one. You sent one to me with a rainbow in the background. It was fucking epic.
I did. And we just got back from Fire Island, which should be called Predatory Island.
Oh.
Listen, if you are not rambunctiously single or rambunctiously open relationship, which, hey, do your thing.
Yeah.
We literally just were like, it was like being in Jurassic Park or Gay-rassic Park. We were like hunted for 2 days just trying to enjoy a little gay love-cation with each other. And it was just like... Hey boys, hey guys, hey boy. It's just like left and right, and people just would follow us. And I'm like, I don't think that guy is peeing in a bush. He was not peeing in a bush, Neke.
Oh my god,
it was a trap. It was a trap. We got trapped in the dunes. So my boyfriend and I have survived Fire Island, Niagara Falls, and we survived. And we got stuck on a train for 6 hours trying to come back from Fire Island. The train
six hours.
It broke down for 2.5, and they finally sent the rescue train.
Oh my god! And then it was this is ridiculous.
Still another 2.5 hours later. So we've been busy. We've been practicing for the Amazing Race.
Yeah, seriously, you guys basically had your own Amazing Race.
We did, especially like we started off the trip with me running to go get him some coffee because I needed to pee. I needed to find bathroom and coffee because my boyfriend needs his coffee in the morning. And the bus was our tour bus was 45 minutes running late, waiting for some other fuckers to get off some other crazy trip that they were on. And I get him the coffee, and then like the bus driver's like, "You can't bring it on. No drink cups.
What?
No drink cups."
What fantasy bus is this where you can't bring no drink cup on it?
And there was no bathrooms working on the bus as well.
Oh, Lord have mercy. This is
the adventure that we had. So,
Lord of mercy.
I run to go get him coffee because I'm like, fuck it. We've been waiting for 45 minutes. He's going to have his coffee. And I get the coffee back and I'm like, the guy's like, no drink cups. I'm like, baby, you got to down this and he's like, I've got two empty cups, right? So like, you can have a water bottle. So we had two water bottles, so we MacGyvered it. And meanwhile, the people on the bus are, like, waiting to go, and I'm just like, we did not make any friends right now. That's the way we started off the trip.
Oh, my lord. That is out of control.
But before we jump into the full-on episode, all things aside...
Yeah.
Aneke, you... I will always remember you. We know that.
Oh, good. Thank you.
All seriousness, when I was on Fire Island, I had been gone from the real world. You know, I've disconnected from Facebook, and I just been in boyfriend land. And Aneke sent me this...
Yeah, you're living your life.
Aneke sent me this, you know, text, and she was like, oh, should we... Because full disclosure, we pre-recorded the rest of this episode.
Yes.
What we're going to talk about today.
So that's why... Yeah, just to let you guys know.
But, and again, I wanted to briefly just touch on this, and I think we're going to do a full episode dedicated to this Orlando massacre that happened, in the same way that we did for Charleston that happened, you know, almost a year ago. So yeah. It seems to be our yearly mass shooting episode.
Which is awful and terrible, and I hate it.
But, I mean, Aneke texted me, she's like, oh yeah, we mentioned Orlando, and I'm like, what happened? And I just knew it was going to be something horrific, but I never, and you were like, it was a very, I could hear your heart breaking having to be the person to tell me what happened via text.
Yeah. I just wish that it wasn't, I wish, one, that I didn't have, tell you through text message. Like, I felt it was so cold and I felt so bad, you know?
Yeah.
But I just wanted you to know and to do your research. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I hope that you didn't mind that.
No,
I'm
glad
gave you the information through text.
I'm glad that you did let me know. And my boyfriend and I have been sort of processing this together, and he's visiting from Europe, and like he's here physically in this country when we're having one of our, you know, usual monthly annual like mass shootings, and he's physically here, and him also being gay, I think that he feels, I mean, the whole world is definitely feeling this. So I feel grateful that I had him to help, you know, process this. And this one,
it
stings. And, you know, the Charleston one stung. This shooting stings really badly. You know, I was...
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this a lot more in detail in the coming weeks, but we definitely wanted to just sort of mention something, acknowledge this, and there's still more details that are coming out, and we'll be talking about this for a long while. But it's interesting because, well, I watched this one of the girls who, I don't have her name, but she was Snapchatting throughout the entire night.
Oh my God.
And you can see the progression of her Snapchats. And then one of them, you know, a lot of people didn't know it was happening. The shooting was going along with the beat so well. And
oh my God, that's horrific.
You can see just the look in her face of like, she knows what it is, but doesn't want to know, doesn't want it to be that thing, you know? And it reminds me of when I was out in Amsterdam, and I had just left Paris 2 weeks prior, and then the Paris attacks had happened. And I was out dancing the next night. So I had a cousin who was in Paris, and she was on lockdown.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, terrifying. And,
of course.
So I remember we were out dancing the next night and there was a balloon drop, which what do balloons do?
Pop.
Yeah. And we were it was a big gay dance. And we had joked, like there was some jokes of like, oh, what if the terrorists were to come and get us? But we kind of thought like,
oh, they
wouldn't come and get us. And they literally a few months later, and just like the sound and the look on her face is the same thing that I remember experiencing when I was there. And one of the things that I loved about being in Europe is, you know, I talked about this before, but I knew that nobody had guns, not to the level that we have guns here in this country. And you don't realize how much you subconsciously think about guns until you leave the country. And one thing that has been so refreshing about having my boyfriend physically here is we have been so ridiculously loving and affectionate all over New York City.
Yes.
But, and not even thinking twice about it, but now, like, at least today, it's been a little bit different. Like, I'm still lovingly and affectionate, but it's definitely been more so in the back of my head. We did get harassed by a cop. We were 2 days ago coming home from a night out with dancing with friends.
Like, really? What the fuck? Why?
Well, first of all, we realized, again, we have to go out with friends, otherwise things get predatory. But we went out with a bunch of our college friends, yeah. Shiva and Jeremy and stuff. And we were just resting our eyes on the subway, and this dude, this, like, white cop dude comes in and, like, we're just kind of leaning our heads on each other's shoulder. And the guy just, like, taps my boyfriend really hard and is like, hey, try to stay awake. Or he says something really aggressive and just really startling.
Oh, gross.
And everybody on the train was like, that was really, and he just us. And meanwhile, there's drunky McDrunkerson passed out not too far from us.
Yeah.
And nothing. Didn't say anything to him.
See, that's like, that's so disgusting to me, that because it's so obvious when it's targeted against you, and people who benefit from a privilege, like for instance, those drunk straight people who are benefiting from their straight privilege, don't ever have to worry about that sort of stuff.
Totally.
You know?
And well, that's the thing too, is like, you know, I think, you know, in both the case of Charleston and this shooting, these are places of sanctuary. Yeah. Like these, you know, a nightclub was is a place where we could gather and just be free. And, you know, it's been tainted. And I've said this before too, this is a very, I don't know. I don't really know what the solution is. I definitely think, you know, I'm not saying anything that nobody else has said, but I don't know what it's going to take. Like, I don't know how we get gun control in this country, because I thought after Sandy Hooks that this would happen. Nothing. Like, we've had movie theater shootings, church shootings. I don't know. I will say the LGBT community is one fierce ass biatch. So the NRA maybe made their worst enemy just now. I mean, this is a community that definitely has been very fired up recently and can get some shit done. What kind of country do we want to be recognized and remembered for? But this whole entire thing in terms of this guy wasn't necessarily connected directly to ISIS, but did it in its name. And you're talking about a threat that this is a threat that doesn't have, it doesn't have a home base, so there's nothing to go and bomb.
Right.
Not that I'm saying, let's go bomb something, but there's nothing to...
No, this is a home threat.
There is.
He's an American.
There's nothing to bomb.
It's an American threat.
But that's the thing, is that this is people who are so... it's something that has been created by all these world powers, you know, even the conflicts in Syria and ISIS growing in North Africa and just all over the Midwest, and it's popping up. These people are already part of these countries and these cultures, and feeling so disenfranchised. And I was hearing something, too, and this is the hard part, too, is that everyone thinks they're the good guy. You know, sometimes these groups, what they, you know, they look at movies like Independence Day and the Hunger Games and, you know, Star Wars, and they see these young, scrappy group of rebels banding together against a more technologically advanced superpower empire. And they see themselves as the Han Solos. They don't, you know, we are the empire. And so... especially for these people, they think that, you know, my gayness is a threat, and they are, you know, helping and saving the world by wiping it out.
I just don't understand how we, to me, this whole thing has really hit me in my core, because it just shows how much of an undercurrent of hate exists in the country, and how much apathy and acceptance people just go, oh, well, you know, people are gonna hate, just get used to it.
And you know what, hey, which here's the thing, people can hate all they want, but it's when they can hate and then have guns, and that's the problem, because that's not what the Second Amendment right is about. It is not like...
Yeah, but a piece of me feels like we need to fix the issue of this hate shit, too. And we need to stop being so apathetic about the fact that people hate, you know? Like, it shouldn't be...
I don't think, like,
okay.
My thing is that, like, people are going... I think this guy was gonna hate. But I don't think that there was... I don't think it would take our podcast. It wouldn't take you and me sitting down with him. This guy has his own issues. I think this guy needs to not be able to have guns. He can have a knife.
Yeah.
He can have a pistol. But he can't have things, these weapons of mass destruction of that caliber. I think the first thing to do is to take away these weapons that can do such harm and destruction. And then let's have the conversations. Yeah. It's literally like, put down your arms and then we can talk. I guess I'm also just, yeah. I'm apathetic, and I'm tired of these moments of silence. I'm tired of these mornings. I'm tired of these candlelight vigils. Like, they mean nothing to me anymore. Because if they really meant something, then this shit wouldn't be happening. And I'm almost not numb. I mean, I cry and I hurt, but I'm apathetic. Like, I almost don't think that anything is going to change, and that it's sort of just like an acceptance of this is the world that we live in.
Yeah, I can understand the apathy, because I do feel that as well, but I also feel on my straight allyship, I feel like I have a duty to not be apathetic. I can't be apathetic. Totally. Like, if someone exhibits some form of homophobia or some sort of bigotry or some form of sexism or racism or whatever, I need to say something.
Yes, please.
Or I need to curb it, because I'm in the privilege to be able to do something. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm exhausted, I guess, because we were literally having these conversations a year ago about, you know, Charleston, and here it is back again. I'm tired. And I know. So I would love, you know, and I'm not just you. I mean, girl, you do it a lot. But those of us who have a lot of this, you know, privilege, and don't have to think about, am I safe to kiss the person that I love right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm tired. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
I think it should be both. I feel like,
I'm willing to be, to continue going if I see some other folks who have power and privilege take up the reins, and I will absolutely, yeah. I will say, exactly. I heard a weird thing. I don't know if this is true, but I was, first of all, moved, and I really wanted to come back home to San Francisco. I saw this huge candlelight vigil in the Castro, and it's beautiful, amazing to see, you know, the queer community banding together, because that's what I love about the queer communities, when we band together and are doing more than just, like, getting out and getting wasted and being predatory towards people who are in relationships. Back off. But then I heard that, like, the Latino community had to ask to speak at this, like, vigil. And also remember, like, it was at Latino night. There was a lot of black and brown folks who were murdered and killed in this as well. So
I would say the majority of the
victims. A lot of layers to it. So I thought that was weird that the Latino community had to ask to be a part of the vigil.
Yeah, what's up with asking? That's weird.
Shouldn't have to ask.
Yeah.
So I thought that was weird. But I don't know. I don't have all the facts. But anyways, I think we'll get into this more as we go on.
Yeah.
And
we will definitely cover this more.
And I do talk about, later on in this episode, talk about the 10 ways that white folks participate in subtle racism. And I think this can also go for how straight allies also participate in subtle homophobia. We still have so much more room to grow. And this is even more of a reason of why pride festivals are so important around the country. And they're getting shut down. They're getting monopolized by other folks. And I think this is a huge, huge, huge wake-up call.
I completely agree with you, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that what you talk about in your segment that we recorded earlier, it directly applies to what we're doing with Now. If you are a straight ally, I am a straight ally, and I will check my privilege. I will check how I deal in with discourse and conversation and my part in this world.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, come on, we're all on this.
Yeah. Thanks, Seneca, for being such a wonderful human being, sister, and person.
Thank you for being such a wonderful human being, and I'm glad that you made it back safe from Niagara Falls.
More stories to come on that, and gay Jurassic Park. Need you forget, my boyfriend and I.
Oh.
Barely came out without
Fire Island?
Without a scratch of glitter on us, or I don't know. I don't know what they use.
I need to hear about this story, because Summertime Neke is coming to a standstill. There is.
Ugh, I would love a dash of standstill. Give me some of that. But let's go back in time and get back to this our pre-recorded recordings and get you out of that car.
Okay. All right, James. Okay.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
I don't know why.
Going.
Why am I singing
this
song?
You just had to sing it for me.
Oh, that's right. We have it. Play my track. Play it. Who am I? Beyonce?
Jane.
But Aneke, do you know what corner we're in?
What corner are we in?
The politically correct corner.
PC corner.
PC corner. I want to talk about political correctness.
All right.
You know, there's seems to be some of almost like I feel like the word politically correct is like it's a dirty word.
It is. It's used against people all the time.
And I've even seen like, you know, I don't watch anymore, but South Park just did an episode about Caitlyn Jenner.
I heard about this.
I didn't watch it and I was nervous about them doing it.
Right.
And then apparently the episode's really not really about Caitlyn Jenner. It's really just about how everyone's so politically correct and they kind of need to get over it. When, like, also, I just stopped watching South Park after a while because it felt like it was these two white dudes who became the dogma on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is how we should feel about all these issues that these guys are not, like, and people take whatever they say in South Park and they take it as, like, this
truth.
Is truth. Like,
right.
Oh, this is how things really are.
Instead of just entertainment.
They just have too much of a platform. People just follow them too much of, like...
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and it's two white dudes talking about, like, LGBT stuff and, like, racism.
Right.
And sexism.
If they had a consultant, then I'd probably...
Be a little bit more on board.
Yes.
So, The Atlantic...
Okay.
Did an article, a long, long article.
Oh, snap.
It was fucking long. and it was written by two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Lukianoff, who is the CEO of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, and Jonathan Haidt, who's like a doctor dude.
Okay.
He's like a, he's a psychologist dude.
Okay.
Not so as long as a title.
They have credentials.
They wrote a shocking article piece about political correctness.
Okay.
It was called The Coddling of the American Mind.
Mm.
Yes. Well, apparently, Aneke, dangers are abiding in our universities.
Like what?
Well, the tagline is, in the name of emotional well-being, college students are increasingly demanding protection from words and ideas they don't like. Here's why that's disastrous for education and mental health.
Oh, no. Here we go.
But wait, that one guy's a doctor. You don't seem excited.
Let's go further.
I'm just going to read you the opening little piece about it. Like, it's a shocking expose on political correctness in the universities. Something strange is happening at America's colleges and universities. A movement is arising, undirected and driven largely by students to scrub campuses clean of words, ideas, and subjects that might cause discomfort or give offense.
Oh my God, alarmist maybe?
So they're doing this whole, they pretty much wrote this whole entire piece about how, you know, political correctness is ruining colleges, and it's essentially what they're saying is it's making everybody too sensitive. That we're, the universities are having to create these in the safe spaces.
Oh my God.
That like it's gotten too much where like, you know, everything has to have like a trigger warning or like you have to preference something and like some professors have to like say, oh, this might be trigger. This might be like a trigger for some people.
Right.
And so they're upset that professors they feel like are having to.
What's wrong with that?
I don't. But they wrote a very long-winded article for The Atlantic. And most of the readers of The Atlantic are white liberals, readers. A lot of white liberals read The Atlantic.
Okay.
And so it's interesting because you have this magazine that is seemingly liberal, but wanting to, again, sort of be a roadblock into...
making change and stopping negative behavior. That's what... That is what PC police... And I hate that term.
I hate it.
Are protecting. If someone is offended by something, instead of getting mad at them for preventing you from saying what you're going to say, maybe think about
what was I going to say? And maybe I shouldn't be saying it.
Not according to Greg and Jonathan.
Those two.
No. Greg and Jonathan are upset. And they're saying that, you know, this whole entire political correctness in NIK, for one, it's based on emotions, okay? You're getting your emotions all up in this. And then they're saying, it's creating a culture in which everyone must think twice before speaking up, lest they face charges of insensitivity, aggression, or worse. Like, it's a mad panic because you can't say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Which is so... Do they not realize that this is going to spin out of control? Like, if we were allowed to say whatever the fuck we wanted to say and everybody needed to sit down, then I could go on radio and be like, pancakes, banana, poop shoot down the block. Doesn't make sense. I don't care. Don't block my speech.
Don't block my speech. Don't block it. And so they also like had this point where they're just like, you know, compared to like, you know, the, like the, when the political correctness was first coming about in like the 80s and 90s, they were like, you know, although they're like, it had some merit then, but like now it's just gotten like way out of control.
Oh my God.
But you wouldn't even have like new terms like African-American LGBTQ came out of people saying, hey,
yes,
don't call me a fag.
Right. Hello.
Don't call me this. Like, right. This is making me uncomfortable.
Yes.
And it takes those people to have hurt feelings.
Hello.
And say, don't do this. Like, so then how did we get here? Well, they blame Greg and Jonathan.
Who are they blaming?
They are blaming the government.
Oh my God.
Because the government's passing like laws of like discrimination and like harassment. Like, because...
Oh, boo-hoo. People are protected now. Because, oh no.
It used to be that sexual harassment had to be like... It was only harassment if it's like the general public thinks it was harassment. But now it's like if it's unwanted, it's harassment. They're like, that's not okay. Because maybe you're just being too sensitive. And he's like, this
is, yeah. I hate this shit. This stuff makes me so angry. I have never in my life thought to myself, why did this person, God damn this person for telling me that that joke was mean. I immediately feel like if someone goes, hey, okay, that joke was kind of mean. I feel bad immediately. I immediately go, shit, maybe I shouldn't have said it. Let me think back on how I should have rephrased it. Let me think about this other person instead of myself. PC police people who say that shit, they are selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You're being selfish.
Yes.
You're not thinking about the greater good.
Aneke, really what you should be doing, you're doing that person a disservice because you're not teaching them how to survive in the real world. You got to say, listen, you got to buck up, kiddo. This is the real world. Boom. And of course, like, this all just kind of sounds like, you know, two white dudes who are like, I can't say what I want.
Yeah.
But I voted for Obama. This is literally what this is. And they also, like, you know, like, they were upset. This is what I took offense to. They were like, I mean, you can't even have peanut butter sandwiches in schools anymore. Because some kids have, like, allergies. Like, I have a nut allergy. Like,
yeah,
like, so they're like, upset that they can't.
Oh no, someone might die and I can't have my goddamn peanut butter sandwich. Eat another type of sandwich.
They're also upset that dangerous playground equipment has been removed.
As someone who fell off a jungle gym and broke my arm in the tan bark, I'm glad things are safer now.
So they like to use this idea. It's also something like an infomercial for cognitive behavioral therapy and one of these guys' books. Because he's like, this is just basic cognitive behavioral therapy where like it's about minimizing. Like it's pretty much saying that like if you think the world is one way, the world is going to be that way. So if you think that like someone's offending you, then that's the world that you're going to create. So if you think that like people are being racist, then that's the world that you are creating.
I can't handle this.
So
I think that I am a successful, beautiful, wealthy woman. Two of those three are true.
Yes.
I am not wealthy.
Okay. Well,
this is not the secret, you guys.
That's my next note. They literally just want you to secret the world. Secret the world, everybody. That's the key to ending racism. Secret. You gotta like, hey, you gotta imagine a better place.
That cop who harassed me and said that my car, I stole it. He was visualizing a world where I stole my car. I'm sorry for disappointing you, cop, that I did not steal my own car.
You should have like thought better, Aneke. You should have thought better. And they're saying that the word offensive, it's just an expression, when you're saying that I'm offended, you're just, like, pretty much crying about your own feelings. Like, it's
what's wrong with that? You have feelings.
Yeah, offensive. It's not just an expression of one's feelings, but demands the speaker to apologize and be punished for the offense. No one's asking you to be punished or like, it's not like, and so you said something wrong that offended me. And what's wrong with
apologizing? What's wrong with being called out? This is people who don't like being called out.
Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, you know, you're magnifying these things. They call it magnification. Then you're labeling it. They're saying that the word microaggressions is being overly used. And because people are calling things out.
This is stupid.
And yeah, and that you just have this, like, they talk about, like, mental filtering that, like, we're making this up, essentially.
This is a lot of thought and background to something really petty, and it's really scary.
And that they're so upset about, and they're, like, really right. upset, and it's a call to arms. And, like, it was, like, you know, this article in The Atlantic, and it's a very, like, well, it's a well-written in a sense that it's, you know.
Yeah, The Atlantic is well-respected as a
it's
source.
It's got its periods and commas, and, you know, it's not just some, TMZ.
If I were a troll, and I'm not a troll, but I'm gonna troll them on this radio show, I would look into who they are. I would look into some sensitive things that happened to them. I would look into maybe some things that might trigger them and go over there and casually start conversation with them, toss in a few of those nuggets and see if they can visualize a better world and not be offended and not call me out on what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Clearly, they have never dealt with this.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, someone who's clearly saying this is, like, not, like, you're not going to see a lot of, like, you're not going to see a blind gay black woman in a wheelchair saying, everybody just needs to stop being so goddamn
sensitive. Settle down, world.
Yeah, like, if, you know, when you are someone who's oppressed, like, and you've been oppressed, like, we're not making this shit up.
Right. For example, if someone told me a racist joke, it sucks for me to hear it. If somebody tells me that I speak well, it sucks for me to hear it. If somebody tells me that my hair is exotic and changes all the time, it sucks for me to hear it. If somebody tells me that they got a tan and now they're darker than me, guess what? It sucks for me to hear that. And I want everybody to understand and take a moment to care for your other people and realize maybe sometimes that what you're saying kind of sucks to hear.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Just don't say it anymore.
According to these guys, your college, UC Santa Cruz, failed you and made you a sensitive little bitch. And I can say that because I'm trying to make you strong, woman. So they're saying that rather than protect students, these universities need to equip students to thrive in a world they can't change. Isn't that devastating?
Thrive in a world that you can't change.
You just need to accept
it. Sorry, shit's racist and sexist. We can't change it at all.
Why are you going to call it, like, for me, when I left UC Santa Cruz, I left with this idea that I can change the world. And that the world is fucked up and I'm going to work to change it. So on the flip side of this, this guy, George Sachs, who's also a psych doctor dude. Official title. He wrote an article and he was like, yeah, I read that Atlantic article.
Yeah.
And he's a white guy. And yeah. He was like, that's all bullshit.
Yay. Good.
He wrote an article. It was
one on our team.
He wrote an article based on this and it's, you know, let's do a top 10 list. He was okay. Like, 10 ways white folks engage in subtle racism. Because he's pretty much like, this entire article is just magnifying subtle, the way, this is where racism is.
Yes.
This article is actually just perpetuating white supremacy and racism. This idea of, like, coddling and even, like, patriarchy. Like, it's saying, hey, this is how things are.
Right.
Deal with it. Toughen up.
Right.
So he...
Can I just point something out really quickly? We're bringing this to the attention. I'm so glad that the author of this top 10 tips is a white guy, because white supremacy does not benefit white people. It benefits white people, but it locks you in a box. And we're bringing this attention not to down or, like, look down on white people. It's just...
the structure of our country and what we all live within. And we're trying to make sure everybody is alert and aware to change this shit.
I actually like this article, this top 10 thing as well. This is for also for people of color. Like, I'm going to read this list, and each one of these, you're going to say, I have fucking experienced it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I'm glad that a white guy said it.
And the problem is the things that you just listed of, like, it sucks when, you know, someone says, oh, you talk really nice for a black girl or whatever. That, like, we sometimes, like, these, like, microaggressions and these, like, he also came up with the term micro-invalidations. We're not invalidating someone's experience. Like, we don't, like, how do you react and respond to that with people that are your friends or people that you're interacting with on a daily basis? Like, this shit happens all the time. And you're doing, and, like, and so I'm saying to people of color as well to be aware, like, that you're not making this up and that your feelings are valid, your experience is valid, your trauma is valid.
If you feel that twinge, acknowledge the twinge and know that some shit just happened. Don't absorb it.
Yes. So the first thing is the first way that white people engage in subtle racism, denial. For example, I don't see color. That just perpetuates white supremacy.
You see color.
Number two, shame and hurt. This is when the focus remains on the white person and their emotional wounds, and it's classic deflection. And, like, you know, it's like, I end up consoling my white boyfriend from Portland, ex-boyfriend, during Ferguson, because he was like, I don't understand racism, because I don't want to talk about it with him. Oh. And I end up, he outcried me.
Oh, my God. The world is not about you. It's about everyone.
Yeah, or, like, shame and hurt is also, like, when someone's like, I'm hurt that you would think that I would say that, or, like, or you think that I was being racist. Like, they take it on and make it about them.
That person needs to realize that they said something fucked up.
Number three, narcolepsy and ignorance. This is
narcolepsy.
This is when you invoke
just sleeping.
You just sleep through it. That's exactly it. Okay. There are people who are literally sleeping through, like, Black Lives Matter, what? Or they just check out. And your white privilege allows you to check out and not engage in the conversation or not participate because it's not your life on the line. It's not your community that's being affected.
You have a seat at the table and you don't want to give it up.
You can be clueless. It's that. It's the power and privilege to be clueless and not say anything. And you're making making people of color assume responsibility for bringing cultural awareness, and you're putting on us to make the changes happen.
Like, I once dated a guy who was white and he said that I talked about race too much.
Fuck him.
Yes.
Go fuck yourself.
Yes. That ended quickly.
Good.
So it's one of those things where it's like, don't shut me up.
Don't shut up. Don't shut me up. You shut up. Not me. You.
Listen.
Masochism.
Oh.
So this is a very interesting line. I don't think I see this too often, but this would be like, it's sort of like when you're like, God, it's so, like, you want to help so much, but you do stupid things.
Like what?
Like, you know, invite, like, a homeless black man into your house and, like, give him a place to stay. And then you're like, and then he robs you and you're like, now you're tainted. You're like,
I get that. Right? Yeah.
Like, you just are going out of your way, but you're also like,
don't be taken advantage of.
And here's the thing. When you do that, you're still not examining your own bias.
Right.
And a lot of this is like deflecting from examining your own bias, that all you have bias. It's systemic. It's ingrained in you. It's like, you know, I expect you to say racist things or misogynistic things because that's the society we live in.
Right. We all live in this.
And let's work through them. Right. And that's why, like, you know, if I'm offending you, let me know, because that's how I can work through something.
Exactly.
Number five, it's when you have faux compassion. Where it sort of draws attention away from your initial sort of biased encounter, where you kind of, like, express, it's like you express understanding, but, like, you're like, how do I explain this?
It's basically being like, I get it.
Yes.
Like, but then you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I totally get what it's like to, you know, be oppressed.
Oh, it's like this. And this is what I hate. I absolutely hate this. It's like when you say, oh, yeah, it sucks today because a cop pulled me over, even though I wasn't doing anything. And then your friend comes in and goes, oh, I totally understand. If it makes you feel any better, I got a latte and it just was not that good today.
Like, not the same thing.
Yeah.
Fuck your latte and fuck Starbucks. Yeah, you like, and you almost like you rush.
It's an extreme example, but people get it.
You rush to, and it's like, I think it's because they feel so uncomfortable by like, oh God, yeah, this is happening to
I'm
you.
I'm in this pain too.
Yeah, and like you, but you rush to express your sympathy for them without just acknowledging what's actually happening with the person.
Right.
And you don't, it's not necessarily that we're saying, telling you the story and this experience to fix anything or to apologize for anything.
Right.
Like you give an apology. Like mm-hmm. I've had people have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's all you gotta
all
say.
All these things are happening. No, but I've had the people like apologize to me for like during like Black Lives Matter, like, oh, I'm so sorry that this is your life. You know, like, I don't need you to apologize.
Yeah.
I know you're just trying to figure out what to do, but the best thing you can do is just examine your own bias and see how.
Yeah, be like, this sucks.
How are you contributing to it? And mm-hmm. You don't have to say anything to me. And it's almost like they want to say something to you to alleviate their guilt and their experience.
I almost feel like a lot of these points that are on here can be transferred almost into any other situation, too. This is how you be a good human.
Right. But according to the other jackasses,
I know. The world is unchangeable.
You can't change anything. It's just the way it is. Defensiveness, number six.
What that article is.
The whole entire article is being defensive.
If you say you're being too sensitive, you're being defensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, I get it. You don't exactly, like, I get it. You didn't own slaves. I get that.
No, you didn't.
But, like, it's still, like, that's not what just racism is.
It's
like,
about the systems that are in our country right now.
Seven, we know this one. It's the pain game. Or as we like to call it, the oppression Olympics. Yeah. Like, you know, and people like, and it's no, the Holocaust was absolutely terrible.
It was terrible.
But slavery happened for 500 years, 500, 600 years.
But I'm just saying, no, that's, you can't say that. That's oppression Olympics. You gotta be like, both terrible.
But like,
they're both terrible.
I absolutely agree. But like, you also just like, I don't know.
There's no comparison. People shouldn't compare oppression. If you're talking about one oppression, then that's the oppression that you're talking about at the time.
Well, absolutely. So don't compare your experience to what it is that you experience. But I do want to say is that, like, there's not systemic things in America that, like, you know, like, there's not...
Mm-hmm.
Because slavery still has systemic, like, things that we're still dealing
with.
We have a podcast because of this. Like,
definitely.
Things are so ingrained. And so it's like, just allow us to express our pain.
Right.
Number eight, your racial resume.
Oh, what's that?
I voted for Obama.
Oh, I have black friends.
I have a black friend. Hey, I went to that black concert.
I know.
I saw Chocolate City.
All my friends are ladies.
You fucking didn't see it.
I did not see Chocolate City.
You know, and it doesn't excuse you to be able to say whatever it is you want.
No.
And again, like, you're not looking at your actual personal bias.
Right.
Number nine, white guilt.
Oh,
I feel terrible about this. We kind of talked about this earlier. Mm. All this police brutality. Okay, great. That doesn't... I don't need to hear your feelings about that necessarily, right? Like, it's not about that. Like, white guilt turns it and makes it about you. Like, that, it's... How did you make this about you?
Right.
It's not. Hold it in.
Right.
Be strong.
Yes.
And number 10,
That should be on a pillow. Hold it in. Be strong.
Be strong. I would hug that all the time. Number 10, intellectualization. You know, this is like, oh, this is the example of like, but we have a black president, so I understand how you guys, there's no racism. Or it's like, oh, well, so, like, oh, Billy Joe Johnson, black guy.
That's comma, black guy.
Black guy. He's got a great job at Google. Like, he's black and he did it.
I know.
Colin Powell is
like,
successful.
Or being like, oh, Ineke, you have a master's degree and a full-fledged career. You're a faculty member. Why are you complaining?
Yeah, or like, you did it. Why can't
Shonda
down the street do it?
Oh, Shonda.
Shonda Rhimes did do it.
She did do it. She did well. But
that's not mean, no. And if anything, you know, she did it in spite of all of these systems.
Right.
It's like quote in Scandal when Papa Pope is saying to Olivia, he's like, you've got to work twice as hard to get half as much.
And it's true.
And fucking true.
That's the conversation that all black children tend to get from their parents. Okay, this is a PSA right now that you're sending out. People of the world, every boy, every girl.
Colors of the world.
Spice up your life. But I want you to know that, one, this list that James just listed off. If you're white, this is a great example of how to check your own privilege and contribute to the movements that are out there.
Yes.
If you are not white, this is a good way to check your own other privileges and communicate with the rest of the world out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do this, if you don't live by these 10 standards that James just listed and try not to do these things, you may, one, be missing out on a good lay. You may, two, be ruining a night out. So the corner that we're in right now.
Where am I?
We are in
potato chips.
We're doing a little potato chips.
I just said what came. It's just a word, a free word association.
Ooh, it's like jazz.
Oh, piccolo.
Banana.
Nipples.
Toes.
Eyes.
Potato chips.
Anake.
Okay.
Oh.
Let's do this.
Amen.
Okay, so we're doing revisit corner.
Revisit?
Revisit.
Are we revisiting something?
We're revisiting a corner that I brought up a couple of episodes ago.
I'm so glad you did this because I actually almost went to an entire episode where we're like, where are they now?
Ooh, we can do that. Like the Oprah show where we're like
state of affairs. And it's like, oh, this is still shitty. Oh, this is still terrible.
Well, this is a little bit better.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's hypothetically better, but it's good that people are taking notice.
Okay.
So, if you remember a few episodes ago, I brought up the Kids for Cash.
Oh, God, yeah.
With the juvenile prison system, with the private... we talked about privatized prisons.
Yes.
We talked about the judges that made a deal with the private juvenile system, sending black kids over there.
Ugh,
all of that. It was terrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
So, last Thursday, today is Saturday, so it was the 17th of September.
Okay.
Our man, Bernie Sanders.
Bernie.
He proposed an act.
Okay.
And the act was Justice Is Not For Sale Act.
Whoa.
Where he wants to basically get rid of, to ban private prisons.
I, like, my heart is just exploding with confetti.
I know, right? The fact that he's, I don't know if he could ever get this act passed. I don't know if it's even possible, but I love the fact that people are thinking about it, or talking about it, or bringing this to the forefront, and that are actually proposing this.
Yeah.
So basically, private prisons, they house 8.4% of federal inmates. Not that much.
Okay.
But in 2013, a study was held that showed that there's a higher rate of inmates of color that get sent to private prisons.
Ooh.
So majority of these private prisons are filled with inmates of color,
mm-hmm.
which we're already seeing a little. That's
yes.
So these private prisons tend to have a higher rate in violence,
uh-huh.
and in conjunction with the violence, they have less than adequate health care. So these guys are getting beat up in the prisons,
and then
they just kind of have to fester in their own cells.
Ew.
Which is terrible. And then I think before we've talked about how prisons should be a place of rehabilitation.
But that,
you know, you go to prison, you want to get better, so when you come out of prison, you're a better person.
You should be learning. We talked about this coding or something, or something
mm-hmm.
that you can come out like. There's they're getting rid of libraries in prison,
which is crazy.
So these people have like nothing to do except just like
create gangs and fester more awful behavior.
Yes.
So,
but that's cyclical because then if these people like you release them back out,
right?
They fuck up again and back they are again.
I know,
making those Nikes.
Oh, it's so messed up. Michael
Fucked
Jordan.
Up. Fuck you, MJ. Not Michael Jackson. Love that, MJ.
He's great.
Rest
but Michael
peace.
Jordan.
Fuck you.
Get out of here.
Space Jam.
Get back in that corner.
Space don't.
Space do not.
Space do not.
Do not.
Do not.
So, there are fewer educational opportunities in these private prisons. So they're basically just money machines because with every inmate, they get money.
Oh.
So they house people. Excuse me, in these private prisons to get money, and then they don't even use them back in the prisons. They're not taking that money and putting it towards the inmates.
They're just taking that money and being like, sweet.
Exactly.
Here, Sheila, here's $80. We got another one in. Sheila.
Damn you, Sheila.
Mm-mm.
So, Bernie Sanders is proposing to ban these prisons, which
sense.
Is huge,
yeah.
and is great that he's talking about the problems that are caused by this system.
Yes.
He is, it's also co-sponsored, and I want to give credit to these people as well. Keith Ellison, who is a Democrat from Missouri, Raul Grivi, I'm just going to say his name, G-R-I-J-A-L-V-A. Can't say
it. A lot of letters.
But you're a Democrat from Arizona.
Doing it.
Bobby L. Rush is a Democrat from Illinois, and they are sponsoring this. So the bill would require the government to directly oversee correctional facilities rather than contracting them out, so they would stay a government fucking prison.
That makes sense.
Right?
Not gonna lie, that makes sense.
It's so true. Bernie Sanders says this: in my view, we need bold change in our criminal justice system. As a first step, we need to start treating prisoners like human beings. Private companies should not be profiting from their incarceration. Mic drop. I mean, hello, it's so simple.
Well, you know, remember that troll guy was wondering why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders? It's things like this.
Right? And maybe it might be hard when he actually gets into office because, I mean, I'm still really devastated that the House of Representatives defunded Planned Parenthood. Yeah. But still, the fact that we're talking about it, that it's getting into the public eye, that someone running for president is bringing this issue
up. No one's ever talked about that.
Right? So, if passed, the bill could also kill a provision that requires immigrants and custom enforcement to detain 34,000 people a day and require the FCC and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to provide regular services in prisons such as phone calls and banking.
Yeah.
Which would increase the financial burden on offenders and their families.
Mm.
So not only are they looking out for the inmates and the system, they're looking
families.
Right, which are the people that suffer the most.
And yeah, like you destroy these families, and then these families that are predominantly people of color.
Right.
And now it just continues to destroy those communities, those people. And then it's so cyclical because then you have, you know, broken windows laws where it's
right.
Like you see something suspicious. And just like even in Sacramento, there black guy, like this young black man got beaten up for jaywalking across the street.
Oh my God.
And he was like, and so there's a video of it and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And like this kid's like putting his hands up to not be beaten.
Right.
And then like this is why I'm so frustrated, because this week some white person posted, I just shared the video.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, was he beaten from jaywalking or resisting arrest?
Oh my God.
Looks like he was trying not to get fucking beaten up. Like,
right.
And no one, he was jaywalking, whatever. And like, it's a disproportionate thing that happens to people of color.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing videos of some white kid running across the street.
Mm-hmm. I know. But I'm glad that Bernie Sanders is bringing this up.
This is great. Yeah.
Because all I need are people to start talking about these issues.
Yes.
So then people can start thinking outside of themselves and thinking about the system that we're in. The
yeah.
system that is, in a sense, we're in prison of this system
yeah.
of thought.
Yes.
You know? There's more than to just commit a crime and go to jail. There's more than that. It's a whole built around for-profit system that we need to stop, nip it in the butt.
And I think if we start changing those, like, because there's so many prisons that, like, then we need to, we got to put people in those prisons, and so then you create these bullshit laws that,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, that, like, what is that, 15-year-old kid who built that clock?
Right.
Yeah, that, like, Middle Eastern kid.
Yeah, well, he's from, he's African. He's Sudanese.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
of course. Wow.
Right.
Built a clock, was like, look what I made, and they were like, terrorist.
I know.
Terrorist. And like, you know, that same town, there was like some kids who brought like these 14-year-old kids brought their guns to school and was like, hey, but you can be white and have guns and bring those to school, but how dare you be a person of color and bring a clock that you built? You can't do that.
It's ridiculous. People like today on Nextdoor, which is an app that talks about your neighborhood. It's like social media app where it's like, this is... And normally there's like sweet things like, I have extra pears, come and get them. Who wants this bed? I'm trying to get rid of it. This morning someone wrote, suspicious blue car casing the hood. One, I wanted to be like, why'd you write the hood?
Come on.
And then two, I wrote under there, I'm like, why was it suspicious? He could have been looking for his friend's house.
Yeah.
Tell me why it's suspicious.
It's redonkulous.
So let's stop assuming everything is bad. Let's give things credit.
Stop assuming black people are bad.
I know.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Do you know how to play the game Spades?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Oh, it's super fun. Do you know how to play hearts?
I do know how to play hearts.
Okay, it's like hearts.
Because I read an article recently where they were like, all black people are born knowing how to play spades. And I was like, I don't. It was written by a black person.
Oh, yeah, but no.
I was like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we play spades in my house.
I don't know how to play.
Well, not unlike my aunts and my uncles. Oh, that shit is fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a more fun version of hearts. Because you play in teams.
Oh.
Yeah, and it gets really insane. Like, my aunt, if you are not up to speed and where she is, she's one of your partners. She will be so mad at you.
Oh my God.
She's like, you play that ace. She's not like that, but yeah.
But anyways, thank you, Bernie Sanders, for bringing that up.
B. Sanders.
Yeah, doing what you do. Feel the burn.
Thanks, Aneke. So informative.
And I'm so glad that we got to revisit that topic.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you dug deep and you were like, ooh.
Let me see what we got over
here. She's on the case.
Digga, 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 digga.
Aneke is literally Nancy Drew.
It's true. I have my little backpack.
You do.
Inside of it, I have a microscope.
I'm your sidekick who's always just running around drinking mimosas.
Wee!
Being like, hey, you missed a spot. Look underneath that rug. Hey, look, that person's gonna try to kidnap you.
Too bad, I got my mimosa.
My hands are full, otherwise I'd help. Sippy, sip, sip.
Come on.
What?
I'm taking applications for better sidekicks. You gotta help me.
But I'm busy.
You gotta put that mimosa down.
Ugh, life is not
fair. You gotta grab me from my abductor.
Ugh, I'm offended.
You need to look at that Atlantic article.
Fuck up.
Suck it in and hold it in.
History Corner.
History Corner. History Corner. It's back. It's back. It's back. It's back. You ready for History Corner?
Yeah, I am.
So, September 17th, Vanessa Williams, 1983.
Yeah, I love where this is going. I love her.
Was crowned the first black Miss America.
Yay, get it, girl. Now everything good will happen to her. Nothing bad will ever happen to her.
Take it away.
What? No.
Take it away.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Because she had some naked photos.
So?
Right? Like, back in 1980, whatever, early 80s, 83.
How dare you?
How dare you pose naked? Wait, now everybody and their mom's naked.
Did she pose for Playboy? Is that what it was?
I believe so.
Or was it, like, personal photos?
No, it wasn't personal.
Photos, and they were digging around her house.
I think it might have been... Get out of my trash!
She was like, Vanessa!
Get out of my trash!
What are these photos?
And it was 1983, so it was like she had to go and get them developed, wait a week, back to pick them up.
Like, I can't wait for those photos.
I wonder what I look like in them.
I hope I wore my knee socks. I forgot. It's been a week.
It's been so long that I take pictures of.
Ooh, the pictures are here.
Oh, I'm naked. Throw that out. Found it. Gotcha, bitch. Give me your crown. I believe she...
So it wasn't that. That's not.
No,
what happened.
I think it might have been test photos for Playboy or something.
I wish that we could write the Lifetime movie. That they're doing like unauthorized.
We just did it. Just then,
like they just kind of go off the rails.
It's like a whole montage of her doing her weekly duties, waiting for those pictures to develop.
That's the movie.
Like hella 80s. Like she's getting a perm. She's watching Dynasty or whatever. Ooh. She goes to the roller skating rink.
Skate, skate, skate.
It's just her listening to like Madonna. Yeah. 80s music.
It's like girls just want to have fun.
Oh, my pictures are ready.
Oh, cool. Oh, I don't need these.
No, and then, toss.
Like, whoever like took her crap, you know, it was like a setup.
Oh, yeah.
That lady was in her trash being like, it got you.
Her hands are just poking out of the trash. And when she throws the pictures in, she grabs them.
This is going to be a great movie. Lifetime, we're ready.
We're ready. Hello.
We're the new writers. Watch out, Shonda.
Here comes watching Hello James. Lifetime, by the way.
What?
Because Lifetime's good now.
What?
Yes. First and foremost, this is a total tangent.
That's okay.
But just Lifetime has Project Runway.
Oh, yeah. They picked
And they've
up.
Had it for a while. Mm-hmm. And if you have... I have a cable subscription. If you go onto the Lifetime website...
Fancy. So you just drop that. I have a cable subscription.
You know, I just casually ballin' with my cable. Basic cable, y'all.
I don't own a
no
TV.
No HBO. You're just an artist. You're like, I don't need television. I have my inspiration from the world.
That doesn't really...
I know, you have a giant television behind your head right now.
No one watches it. We don't know how to turn it on. It's not mine.
So,
on Lifetime.com, mylifetime.com, you can watch whatever they've aired if you have a cable subscription.
Oh, wow.
So I've been just...
It's like the Kirsten Wiig movie.
Yes, you can watch that.
And that was a seriously done movie.
They did it really well.
Yeah, like she was like, no, this is serious.
With Will Ferrell, yeah, I think, too.
Like, yeah, Will Ferrell was
yeah.
in it. I used to love it. Like, Lifetime has all the movies that NBC used to do for, like, the Monday Night movie based on a true story.
Oh, yes.
There's that one where, like, Candace Cameron is dating Fred Savage, and then he beats her and murders her.
That's a Lifetime movie now.
And it's
That's
called
like
No One Would Tell.
Yes.
There's another one where Melissa Joan Hart wants to date this guy, and her parents are like, no. And she's like, okay.
Oh my God, I remember this.
And then she starts dating this other guy to murder her parents. And like he's like, I don't want to shoot him. And she's like, shoot him already. And so now that her parents are dead, she gets all the money and she gets to date whoever she wants. And it's called Deadly Daughter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That genre went directly to Lifetime.
I used to watch those, and I would be terrified, because I was like, oh my God, people are crazy. Or like the ones where like moms would drown their children.
I know, people aren't that crazy.
Because that's what I would think.
I know, because you see enough of those, and you think the world is terrible, but they're extreme cases.
That's true.
People generally are just mildly insane.
That's fair enough.
So, Vanessa Williams was invited back to this year's... Pageant.
She was as a judge.
As a judge. She was the lead judge. It only took, 32 years, 33 years for her to come back and do that? Thanks, Miss America.
Thank you.
Your time on that.
Wow.
And apparently I read somewhere that they expected her to apologize, but she expected them to apologize, so they conceded to her. Go on, Miss Williams.
I'm sorry, why would she apologize? Sorry that
you caught my naked photos? Oh no, my body.
Why should she be ashamed of it?
She shouldn't.
But you know what I will say to her credit? She fucking showed all of them, because she's had an amazing career.
Yes, as a singer, as an actress.
Yes.
She can do it.
She could have been Storm.
You know what? She would have been.
I mean, Angela Bassett's my number one pick.
But Vanessa Williams is right.
She would be much better than Holly
Berry.
She's
like an underdog. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't really give her credit.
She's amazing in Ugly Betty. She's why I watched Ugly Betty. It was so good because of her. She's just great.
She's great.
I want to see her on Empire.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, I want to see her on Empire. Vivica Fox is going to Empire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Empire, where all black actresses go. So, I just wanted to bring up that we need to understand that Vanessa Williams is amazing. Shouldn't have gotten her title taken from her.
Not at all.
And that she was the first black Miss America.
Boom. Good job, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to come on the show? We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Please come.
Yeah, you're invited.
Always.
And then if you can sing a song, that'd be great, too.
Can she sing Colors of the Wind?
Oh, yeah. But or like The Right Stuff.
Ooh.
The Right Stuff.
Was that her?
Yeah.
I thought that was like Jody Watley.
Oh, you're maybe right. Ooh. Ooh. Sorry.
Yikes.
Let's edit that out. Maybe we'll have a joint episode with
Jody
her
Watley
and Jody Watley.
What's Jody Watley doing right now?
Nothing, which is why she can come on the podcast.
That's true.
She could use the publicity.
Come on, Jody.
No one said her name in probably like 15 years.
Probably everybody listening to this podcast is like, who the fuck is Jody Watley?
And they're Googling it and they're like, oh, yeah, I can't remember. I thought that was Vanessa Williams.
Unless they're under 25 and they're like, I have no idea
like,
what you guys are talking about.
What?
Who's Vanessa Williams?
So many things happened. It's a great episode.
I'm sweaty. I'm
sweating in places I didn't know I could sweat.
Sweat.
I should go back and see the doctor again.
Back of the knee sweat.
Oh, okay.
There's something weird
back here.
Oh, it's sweat.
Better go ask Dr. Kate.
In her magical office.
Yeah, I definitely want to go there. And thanks all for you all listening. The listenership has been growing, so thank you for spreading the word.
Yes. If you're new to the podcast, welcome.
Welcome.
Spread the word, too.
Spread it.
I'm so glad you guys are listening. And all of you corner kids, thanks for listening. You guys are the best.
Original OGs of the corners. Have a great week. Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K.
And we have a Facebook page. Like it.
Like our page.
You can send us things that you think we should talk about.
Send us articles.
Send us sexy pictures.
Okay,
don't do that.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't wanna.
Well,
let's say PG-13 sexy pictures.
Oh, that's fun.
Not
or like
X.
Ridiculously like ones. Like you like mowing the lawn.
Yes.
Sticking your tongue out.
Ooh. I like that.
We should do like a contest. Who has the most ridiculous, sexy photo?
Please do it.
Post it on the website.
Yes. Oh, my personal Twitter is Ms. Fitzy, MizzFitzie.
And I don't know what mine is. At James Arthur or something. Maybe it's that. I don't know. I have like 2 Twitter followers. Thanks, guys.
Whatever. You'll get more.
Okay. Why don't you come show me how to do it?
I will.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week. Bye.